Hello, everyone. Welcome. This is Ava from AvaWaits.com. I love knowing that all of you are joining us today. I am so thrilled to have a friend and a colleague on the line. I'm going to introduce her in just a minute. First, I just want to make sure that you are comfortable for our interview. This is Cracking the Charisma Code. And so I have brought on a very special guest, Robin Nicole Soule of Itster.com. Hey, Robin. Hello.
Hi, Ava.
Hello. This is so great. So, Robin, before I even introduce you more, I just want to tell everyone a little bit about what they can expect from today's call, because I'm looking forward to it. I really want to learn from you, too, because you are definitely an expert on charisma. So today, everyone, we're going to be talking about everything you've ever wanted to know about charisma. And so we have Robin Nicole Soule with us. She is the author of the upcoming book, The Charisma Code, How to Make Love, Money, and a Revolution. And so today I'm thrilled because I know this is going to be a huge conversation. We're going to be talking about what is charisma, can charisma be learned, why it's important to activate your charismatic power, and how you can actually do it. And then how activating that power can help you make love, money, and a revolution. And so before I bring on Robin again, I just want to tell you a little bit about her. So she's a transformational speaker, a writer, and a media commentator. And she brings good news. I absolutely love that she talked about that in her profile. Yes, we want good news. And one piece of that good news is that anyone can be charismatic. And so it's really interesting. So with 16 years of global anthropological research that has been devoted to learning the language beyond words, as well as extensive exploration of mind-body connected states, Robin is really convinced that charisma is not just something you're born with, that it's actually a choice. And she wants to help those brave souls who are ready to step into this charismatic power. She wants to help them actually step into that power. I'm so excited. So she lives down in Los Angeles, and currently she hosts a weekly A&E radio show called The Charisma of Star Power, which is for HealthyLife.net. I know that right now her company really runs out of Itster.com, which I've been able to see. It's a really fun website, really vibrant and colorful. And she's also a charisma columnist for Levine Breaking News, or maybe it's Levine. How do you pronounce
Levine,
that?
Levine, that's right.
Levine, yes, got it right. And she also offers her interview skills for GATE, which is the Global Alliance for Transformational Entertainment. As I mentioned, she is an upcoming author, which is so exciting. And you can start the fun and and the journey with her by signing up for her free newsletter at itster.com. And I'm so thrilled to have her. There's just so much I could tell everyone about you. I don't know where to start. But Robin, I think I'm going to start right where we met. And before I do, just because I know that there are some people on the line who are, maybe you know Robin or maybe you know me, I did want to have a chance just to introduce myself as well. As I mentioned, I'm Ava Waite. And I'm at AvaWaits.com, and I support entrepreneurs and aspiring speakers to feed the source of their success. I do a lot of support for entrepreneurs around money and feeling more comfortable with money, really releasing financial constriction and welcoming in so much more income than they've been letting into their company before, because I really truly believe that making money can feel like bliss. And I'm just so excited to be coming together with Robin. We've had many conversations about how charisma can be so helpful in business, and it can connect you to your clients, or it can connect you to friends or referral partners or future romantic partners. There are so many things that charisma can do for you. So Robin, I'm going to tell them where we met.
I just want to say thank you for that wonderful introduction. Tell us all how we met and where.
So we didn't meet in a bathroom, which I seriously joke about that. But sometimes I end up meeting great people in bathrooms, like waiting in the line, which is hilarious. So Robin and I met a couple years ago down in Los Angeles. So I live up in Washington State. So I was down in Los Angeles for a live event. And Robin, I remember you coming up to me, and I don't exactly remember what you said, but you kind of gave me what I would say my first taste of fame, which was really interesting because you came up to me and you told me something about how you knew who I already was.
Yes.
And I didn't know you.
Yes.
Yeah. And
Yeah, I had seen actually your work from Christina Morassi. She had posted something about Feed the Source of Your Success and the great work you were doing. And, yeah, I was attracted to you there. And there you were live in flesh and standing tall and stately with a bit of graceful glow around you. And I thought to myself, my goodness, I must introduce myself to this woman. Miss Ava Waits, how are you?
It was so funny, and I see that as it was this example of how just us being who we are can draw forward resources, friends, colleagues, future clients. And so after Robin and I met there down in Los Angeles, and of course, you know, I was still kind of like, whoa, this woman knows who I am, and I'm not even in my home state. This is so cool. So since then, Robin and I discovered that we, at the same time, are both writing books, and we have been staying in touch with each other, especially over the past 4 or 5 months, I'd say. And I know you just finished the manuscript for your book, and mine, I'd say, is about 75% done, the manuscript, and so she and I have been really connecting over the common huge project that we're going through. I joked we're both becoming book moms at the same time. So we're both creating these books and bringing them into the world. And so I would love to, you know, just before we get started with all the questions that I have for you, will you share anything else that you feel like you really want people to know about what brought you to this place, how you got to be here, how charisma really drew you in?
In terms of why I chose it as my great opus, my work in the world.
Yes, your huge focus, yes.
Yes.
I don't think I had learned, I don't think I had really heard that much about it. You know, I knew what it was, I mean, as far as what it means. But yeah, until you came along, I hadn't really heard that much about people teaching it.
Well, first, you're one of the few people who knows what it means, just for the records. Not that many people know what charisma means, which is brilliant. I can't wait to hear what it is for you. For me, the story was really, you know, I was a mind-body vitality coach at the time when my mother had just gotten home. You know, we were meeting for a dinner at her place, and she had just gotten home from spending time with Bill Clinton and had gotten her photo taken with him, and she brought the photo, and it was stately and lovely, and they looked larger than life. And I said, hey, Mom, so what was it like being with Bill Clinton? And she said, my gosh, it was like being plugged into an electric socket. And I said, oh, an electric socket, huh? I said, and I immediately wrote out onto my social networks, I said, you know, as a mind-body vitality coach, this electric socket, whatever it is what I'm attempting to connect my clients to. And so I immediately then went into research for what the electric socket might be, and that's when I came up about to charisma.
Wow. I've never heard it explained like that. That's amazing. Like people plugging into something that is energizing, electrifying, and really turns them into, when you think of like plugging a light into the wall, it turns the light on.
Yes.
It turns that allure on.
Absolutely. It turns that allure on. That's some sexy language. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, because the way that I've always thought of charisma is it is a person who is so, they're in love with life. They're in love with what they're doing. There is a lot of love, I think, going on in their body and just in the way that they are. And through that, it's, creates this magnetism that draws the things that they need toward them. And I've spoken about this many times, especially from a business standpoint, is that when you are in that state of bliss, that it draws in the resources that you need, the money, the clients, the things that you're looking for.
Wow, that's, you know, that's a very insightful and deep way of looking at charisma, you know, that when you're in a state of bliss, that when you're in a state of love, that you naturally draw the allure. And I think that you're an excellent example of that. And again, our first meeting is an indicator of that. There, as I mentioned, I think I used the word grace with you. There was a vibrant grace around you. I mean, you know, the reason why most people don't have a definition for charisma is simply because it's invisible. It's Marianne Williamson says this great thing. She, in her first international bestseller and first book, A Return to Love, she says that charisma is an invisible power with visible effects.
Ooh, I like it.
Isn't that great?
You know what?
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. Before bed last night, I've owned that book for a couple of years, and I haven't actually read it yet, and I picked it up last night and flipped to the page on charisma by accident.
You're kidding. That's
yeah.
Wonderful. I love that you did that. You know, it's one of my favorite books. I'd call it a Bible of sorts for me, and yet I hadn't I hadn't come across that particular phrase for a while. She talks about charisma in that book as when one, she said the original definition of charisma is one is filled with spirit or inspirited. And it interestingly enough, it took me so much research. I mean, for a while I was calling myself and still occasionally do a charismologist. You know, it's not so much that I'm the charisma queen. It's that I study charisma, you know, and I really did for, you know, once I had that insight where I wanted to find out Bill Clinton's electric socket, I pretty much put everything aside. I stopped most of my life and sort of cloistered myself away into my own, I called it like my hermetic hermitage, to use alchemical terms, and read every book I could find on the subject matter, and really looked into the history of the word, which is fascinating. I mean, it's a 2,000-year-old history, and it really wasn't until the end of all that that I came across that passage in A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. I love that you happened to flip that open last night. That's, you know, that's the magic of doing work like we do, with the intention of it being, you know, served for the greatest good. I really believe through this process, I have seen so many occurrences of those sorts of synchronicities, because this is work that wants to be gotten out there. It's empowering work, you know.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to share with us just a few examples of, these could be things that you've seen occur for people in their life who are very charismatic? Because I'm curious, you know, like, why would we want to develop charisma? Like, why is it so important to bring that forward? And I'm wondering if you could share just a few examples of things you've actually seen because people have been so charismatic. Like, what gifts have shown up in their life because of charisma?
Well, it's great because the actual word charisma, that the root meaning is the gift of grace. That's the Greek. It was first used in the Bible 2,000 years ago. So I love that you said what gifts have shown up in people's lives, because it's very much a give and receive sort of exchange, energetic exchange with charisma. So you give the gift of yourself and you get gifts of others in return. So, in, you know, you wrote it very beautifully on a post today when you were inviting people to this interview. You wrote something along the lines of, you know, have you ever met a stranger who, you know, was attracted to you, and then they ended up becoming a client or a lover or, you know, you name it, something, some special significant person in your life. So, you know, in my understanding, it is a currency of connection. It literally, charisma is a currency of connection. So if we are, you know, in terms of what does it bring, I think it's better to ask, like, what doesn't it bring? Because I right? And I think in many ways, you know, after all my study of the thing, I came up with my own little definition that I like to use, which is that charisma is the fearless expression of your soul. Charisma is the fearless expression of your soul. So if we're not expressing our soul, meaning our deepest self, right, the it, if you will, if we're not expressing that, then how is anybody ever going to come to us. How's anybody ever going to want to date us? There's nothing to date. You're not giving them anything to date, right? there's no
right.
substance there. So charisma, as much as it's sort of kidded about this, like, oh, this sort of cheesy golden glint of Hollywood, you know, with some stars on a dirty street, it's really, I think it's the deepest part of ourselves. And I think what it takes is a fearlessness to do that. There's a reason why I chose the subtitle of my book, The Charisma Code, to be How to Make Love, Money, and Revolution. Because in terms of what does charisma bring, it brings love, money, and revolution. Now, I will just add one caveat to that, which is that the first part of my book is, you know, and that takes up most, it's the biggest girth of the book, is all about uncoding the charisma code. The second part is just, it's like 2 pages long, and it's called the follow-through, part do the follow-through. And essentially it says, you know, charisma in and of itself is way too wrapped up in the moment to necessarily be thinking about following through. However, if you truly want to make love, money, and revolution, you need to follow through. And that means being true to your word and those sorts of things. But that's not necessarily charisma. So when you ask the question, what does charisma bring, it's all fine and dandy to be the hot piece of shit in the middle of the room that everybody wants to get next to in terms of having a lasting love relationship, a lasting substantial revolution, make lasting money and a lifelong fulfilling career. Those are the sorts of things that really do require the water of follow through in order for those seeds to grow and get what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you have to keep this turned on. It's like we're being called to turn our charisma on for a lifetime. It's not just you go to a party and you turn it on. It's like this continual power that really just magnetizes those amazing things to us and keeps us in relation to them, keeps them around.
That's great. I really appreciate you saying that, a lasting charisma power. Now, an interesting sort of commentary, pop culture commentary on that is Marilyn Monroe, which we all know. Who doesn't know Marilyn Monroe? I mean, she's up there in the top 10 most famous people ever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's been known, specifically, she was known when she was alive, to be able to turn her charisma on and off. And people were like, what? Is it a switch? You know, back to that whole analogy, right? It's like, what, is it a switch? I thought you either were born with it or you weren't. Like, come on, people. Mm-hmm. And so people were just enamored with her and really – They were like, she'd be, well, I think her real name's Norma Jean. She'd be little old Norma Jean, you know, sort of nobody would even notice her. And then at a moment's notice, she would flip the switch, her charisma switch, and become Marilyn Monroe. So that in itself kind of says, oh, maybe charisma is more of a choice than it is something you either got or you don't got. And then the real question becomes, you know, well, okay, do I, like you said, Ava, do I want to just perpetuate this? You know, charisma is not just something I do to get a newsletter sign up, but maybe charisma is something that I do every time I engage with the people who care enough to come and be a part of what I'm offering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you're making me think when you were sharing about turning it on and off, is that even from the perspective of being an entrepreneur, there are days where we feel like taking on the world, and right, we feel like going out and doing a million things and seeing people, making phone calls and creating things. And then I know that I've experienced this, and I'm pretty sure that every single entrepreneur experiences this, is there are some days where I don't want to be bothered.
absolutely.
You know, those days where you have to kind of turn inward and where I would rather be alone than speak with people. And it's just a personal thing. It's just whatever healing process is happening. And I feel like it's those days where I know I can go and be invisible if I choose, which is very interesting.
You know, it is, and I think I've had a lot of people ask me about introverts, like charisma and introverts. Interestingly, it's been one of the primary questions, and my response, and this sort of goes to what you were saying, Ava, because you know we all need balance, right? I I know for me, one of the reasons this interview's exciting is that I've been spending so much time in the gathering stage, the place where I'm receiving the gifts of grace, and to be able to now share the gifts of grace, you know, to share, and again, I'm using gift of grace as the etymological root meaning of the word charisma, is really, you know, is special. So this question about introverts, you know, I think I consider we're all degrees of introverts and extroverts. My personal understanding of charisma is that it's not necessarily an extroverted activity. So, yes, it's a switch. However, I feel that it's more connected to the moments that we choose to live in the now and those moments when we would be preoccupied with everything that is not the now. Mm-hmm. And so what I mean by that is that there is this when there can be times when I'm totally, I'm not meeting anybody's eyes. I'm not looking for attention for anything. I'm not being asked to perform or speak. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to find a date. There's none of that going on. I'm just like walking gently in a garden, you know, maybe a public garden, and I'm just smelling the flowers, and I can just feel the grace that comes over me when I'm absorbed in the moment and not resistant to the moment. And then there's a certain charismatic attraction that people have to me, right? And I think we all can think about a time when we've been absorbed in the moment, we weren't trying to do anything, mm-hmm. and that comes to us. And so in that sense, you know, you don't have to be an extrovert for that. You can be an introvert for that, absolutely. I think people are just what we're magnetized to is people that are absorbed in the moment. I'd say that the world will be as magnetized to you as you are magnetized to the world.
Oh, I like that. Oh, I can't wait to read the book.
Thank you, Ava.
Yes. And I'm really glad, too, that you also talked about that for a moment, about the introverts and charisma, because I do feel like, I think especially as I've connected with more and more entrepreneurs, even in the online world, I know I am more introverted as an entrepreneur, and I know many of the people who follow my work are also, not everyone, but more of them tend to be a little introverted. So sure. I really appreciate you bringing that forward and just sharing that we can all have this. And I'm also really interested, too. I know you wanted to share a little bit about how charisma can be learned or how can it be learned? Because
yes.
I know some people are probably on this call wondering, like, oh, well, do I have it? How can I activate that?
Yes.
I'd love to hear more about that.
Oh, please, yes. I mean, it is, I think, the question that is most pertinent to the conversation about charisma currently in the society. I mean, yes, we're interested in charisma, but for the most part, there's a polarization. I did my first public speaking appearance I had on this work.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the crowd, I said, how many of you believe that charisma can be learned? And you know, and how many of you believe it's just something you're born with or not? And it was an exact split down the middle of the room.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, there really is a polarization right now and a question about if charisma can be learned or not. The charisma code, the sort of, you know, the impetus, as I explained, was almost this surety that it must, but I was willing to it maybe not being, you know. I mean, I was trying to be as scientific as I could in the process of discovering, you know, what it would really, could we really crack the charisma code, you know. And, you know, so my answer is that this is, you know, my very honest, just my
yeah.
soul, belly-to-belly, guts answer is that I, Robin Nicole Soul, believe, my belief at this time is that charisma absolutely can be learned. Now, I do not have enough experience to see if every single person could ever do it, but let me tell you this. If my premise is correct, that charisma is truly the fearless expression of your soul, then if we, the sort of the leap I'm asking all of our listeners to take right now is this leap into believing that we have a soul, or that we, that there's, you know, that, you know, that there's a mystery out there. There's something that that's inside of us that's deep but can't exactly be expressed in words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of this premise that there's some part mm-hmm. of you that is so rich and maybe timeless and eternal, that's just you. It's just the snowflake part of you that that's a mystery, but you know it's there, right? So that's the premise that I need from anybody that studies with me to be able to really believe, because it's that essence of you, which some call personality. However, I feel that the personality is more the expression of that essence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the expressing of that soulful essence to the world, and that's then really the only thing I need anybody to do to get charisma is to express who they really are fearlessly.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's like just truth. It just feels like just bringing our truth forward and just sharing that with the world. I am so, oh my gosh, you're making me so in love with this topic now too.
Good. Oh, I'm so glad. Well,
yeah.
I do have a little exercise. I mean, or not an exercise, but some real tangible pieces that I'd love
yes.
to give our listeners. Are you?
Oh, that'd be
would
fantastic.
You like that? Oh, okay,
yes,
great.
Of course.
So the thing I just ask all of our listeners to do right now is just get out a piece of paper and a pen or pencil. And once you've got your paper and your pen, I'm just going to have you write down, which I am essentially at the top of the paper, just write down the three rules of charisma. And what I have found is that these three rules are excellent touchstones. They're great touchstones when you sort of fall off, because it's one thing to say, yeah, fearless expression of my soul, you go. I mean, fine. I mean, it's great to be empowered on that level, and I hope that you are. And it's also another thing to feel like you have some practical, sort of very grounded things you can do to activate it when life would have you huddle in a corner in shame, for example, which happens to all of us.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So on your little paper, you've got the three rules of charisma. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to walk you down these three rules, and then we'll go into each one of them in depth. Does that sound good, Ava?
This sounds great. I love this. Yeah, I should even do it.
Okay, please. Yeah, super. Okay. So, so the first rule of charisma is know you are made of good stuff. First rule of charisma, know you are made of good stuff. And right next to that, go ahead and write in parentheses, power of confidence. Okay, so know you're made of good stuff, power of confidence in parentheses next to it. Second rule of charisma is live like you are going to die. Live like you are going to die. And in parentheses next to that, write power of magnetism. So second rule of charisma, live like you are going to die. In parentheses, power of magnetism. And then the third rule of charisma, give the world a glimpse of its greatness. One more time, that's give the world a glimpse of its greatness. And that, in parentheses next to it, write power of connection. So give the world a glimpse of its greatness, power of connection. Ava, did you get all of those?
I did, yeah. That third one about giving the world a glimpse of its greatness, that really feels like it has an essence of service in it. So I'm really glad you brought that forward, because especially the entrepreneurs listening, that feels like right there, like our job. I mean, for anyone, even if you're employed, like our job is to show the world that there is beauty in it and the good things that are in the world. So I like that one.
Thank you. And just as a little side note for our listeners, you know, Ava and I, in our in the friendship domain of our colleague relationship, had a few discussions about these three rules, and Ava had again, she's such a natural at this work. She had such an insight into the third rule, which is new. I know I'm just throwing this out right now. It's the first time you've heard it, Ava. You know, when we were speaking, we were looking at it. Well, let's see the third rule. Let the magic happen, and that's part of it. So part of giving the world a glimpse of its greatness is you do get to let the magic happen. And I just really want to honor Ava right now. Ava waits for her insight into that you know, you could do all this work of the first two rules, which we'll go into in a second, and then there's a certain point when you just let the magic happen. But what I found is that, much like Ava said, there's a service element to it. We really want to I think it's really important to focus on the giving, even though charisma doesn't try. It really doesn't, but it's really nice for us. Again, these are touchstones that you can have, and so, yes, there's a service element to it. Thank you, Ava.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So are we ready to go into what entails with each of the three?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, super. So the first rule of charisma, know you're made of good stuff, power of confidence. So essentially here, you know, the way you bring this into reality is you make a choice. So knowing you're made of good stuff, you've got to make a choice, because the reality is it's so easy, unfortunately easy. And again, you know, there's many people like Eckhart Tolle who talks about the evolution of humanity. You know, many people talking about a new planet and the new humanity, that we're going to be doing a whole lot less second guessing ourselves and a whole lot less of, you know, basically thinking we're made of bad stuff. You know, that instead of sort of one of the things, I really want to honor one of my other colleagues, Julie Woods, the urban bliss shaman, and she says, oh, so we were having a conversation about this. She's like, oh, so like instead of original sin, it's original good. I'm like, that's right. That we're made of good stuff. And this kind of goes back to when I talk about, you know, the reason that my website is itster.com, and there's this whole thing about get the it factor with me. It's this idea that the it is that soul quality, and that it is our good stuff. It's like, it's just good. Like, dude, we don't know what banged the Big Bang, but like we know we came from something pretty amazing, because like look at this miracle of life. Right?
Yeah.
So knowing you're made of good stuff, so how would you deal with this? You know, for many of the entrepreneurs out there, we need to get in front of a crowd. Either it's a crowd that, you know, we're trying to get business funding or financing, or we're in front of a crowd because we're sharing our story or our message. And you know, it's that why is public speaking one of the most paid professions, as well as, by the way, this is a great, I love this fact.
Yeah.
They did a fact on public speakers, they did a quiz to the general public in America, mm-hmm. and they said, what are you most afraid of? They were more afraid of public speaking than they were of death.
Wow. Yeah.
I know. It's heavy. It was the number one biggest fear was public speaking. So I thought, well, hey, you know, for our communities, Ava, with entrepreneurs, there is this this need to kind of like, well, how do we get over that fear? So that's what I was looking at, number one, with this first rule of charisma, know you're made of good stuff. Well, this is really a reconnection to who you really are. And, of course, my work goes deeper into discovering that and embodying that, so that it's easy to step out on the stage or in front of the investors and mm-hmm. or in front of, you know, a dude or a chick that you think is hot. You know, I mean,
it's for all aspects.
It works for all aspects, all age groups, all demographics.
Yes.
It's just sort of know you're made of good stuff and get over the original sin. Okay. So that, what does that give you? Gives you the power of confidence. So the three things you see in parentheses on your paper, those are the three powers of charisma. Those are, okay. If you go to itster.com, that's I-T-S-T-E-R, you could sort of see a visual of it. There's a big it in the middle, and then you'll see those three powers, and that's sort of a visual glyph if that's helpful for you. And the so the first power, when you know you're made of good stuff, you get the power of confidence. Okay. Second power of charisma, right, power of magnetism with the rule of live like you're going to die. This is, you know, I have to say, this is where I think the electric socket, the big question I had that emphasized the work, this is really where I think the electric socket comes in. This is like the great generator of power. You ready for this one?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. So, the, you know, this is a great generator of power. And this again, you know, we were talking about, Ava, that the magic of this work, when you really sort of say, as I did with this work, I said, you know, I don't want to just do this on my own. Yeah, I want to read books, and I want the universe to be involved. I want some mystery to come into this thing. And so, you know, when I purchased itster.com, I thought to myself, you know, well, that's cute and easy for people to remember, and, you know, build a community of itsters around this. Like, great, you got the it factor, yeah, you know. And I thought that was great. And then I found out that itster is a Yiddish word. This is after I had done a ton of building, went through this whole thing, you know, getting the domain URL, went through this whole thing. And I thought, right? And so then I thought, oh, my God, oh, no, it's a Yiddish word, right? I mean, I'm thinking it could be
what
anything.
What could it be?
Right? I mean, we can think of some few very colorful options. Yes.
Yeah.
Luckily, the universe was on my side in this one, and actually I consider it to be a great code as far as what the charisma code is. And one of the clues is that itster means nowl, as in the power of now, N-O-W.
Ha-ha.
Yeah, exactly. So exactly. That's what I did. I sort of had one of those moments, you know, we all get them,
joyful, gleeful
moments.
Yes.
Would you say?
Like one of those, like, oh, you know, like that sigh of relief, like, oh, good.
yes. Oh, good. And also like, oh, wow, that's great, in the sense that it really did provide another clue of how you plug into that socket. And that really is just you plug into the now. You plug into the power of now, and it's the difference between resistance and resisting the now, and accepting or being magnetized to the now. And again, it's back to that same same little phrase, Ava, that you know, what we're magnetized to typically is magnetized towards us. And so, for example, I'm going to give a very anti-charismatic experience I had where I was having so much resistance, which is just it's what I'm dealing with right now. I've been working with Amazon trying to get this account up and for my Itsterware Liberty Caps, and it, you know, something that I thought would be easy, but I was dealing with so much frustration because, you know, I plug in all the product descriptions, late night sort of thing, you know, and then it would erase itself. I mean, we've all had these experiences. And then I get this thing from this message from Amazon saying they're going to take down my account because it's not categorized in the proper thing, you know, category. So, you know, the stuff. And it took everything in me, Ava, to not. Well, actually, no, I take it back. I was anti-charismatic. I had to figure out, how do I get into this now? Because every part of me wants to run away. I was pushing against the experience so forcefully that I not happy, the people around me, my cats were not happy, you know?
No.
Right. So, you know, this whole, to get the power of magnetism, we live like we're going to die. And basically, the reason I say the second rule is to live like you're going to die is because when we truly live like we're going to die, that's when we actually don't let our mind wander into sort of these self-deprecating, thoughtless, repetitive thoughts, you know. And it's a practice, mind you, this is a practice, obviously, but that's why the now is very appropriate for the second rule of charisma.
That's perfect. Thank you so much. I love these examples, too. These are fantastic.
Oh, I'm so glad. They're, right? We all deal with the frustrations of life, and How do we do it better?
Yeah.
And how do we let our power grow? I mean, again, it's we're plugging into the power of now, and it truly is, you know, I don't think I would have had the balls to use that phrase after how large it's become after Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now, but because I had that Itster, the power of Itster.
Yeah, we'll call it that.
We'll call it the power of Itster.
That's great.
Speaking of which, one thing, just a little side note on charisma, one thing charisma stays away from is cliches. And if you think about it, we've all sort of heard that before, but if you think about it, the fearless expression of your soul is not a cliche. There's no one like you. So when you're really in touch with that, you're not, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about
that.
That's
great, too.
Always good news.
Yeah, it's all good news. Thank you. Are we ready for the third rule?
I am so ready. I'm so excited.
Okay, good. And thank you. This one I dedicate to you, Ava Waits.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. So third rule of charisma, give the world a glimpse of its greatness. And again, this is the power of connection. And I know I've already mentioned on this call that I think of charisma as being the currency of connection. You know, it's one of the one of its purposes, one of the things it does is it creates connection, not because we try, but because that's just what, you know, when people have something to connect to, when we give them the fearless expression of our soul, when we give them ourselves, when we give them our it, then they want to connect to us, you know. And so now give the world a glimpse of its greatness. What's interesting here is that simply by being yourself, simply by being fearlessly yourself, you attract other people to you, not just because you're so wonderful. I think this is one of the things that's subconscious for people, so I'm kind of bringing to the conscious level right now through this conversation with you, Ava, which is that I don't think that we necessarily know, but when you think, any of us, when we think about somebody we absolutely love to be around, you know, when we think of somebody who has charisma, we like how we feel when we're with them, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel happy and excited, just joyful. Yeah.
Yeah, we like how we feel, or they somehow give us a glimpse of who we really are by them being who they really are. I know I do. I mean, I love being around people that are just wild livers, you know, not liver, kidney, spleen liver, but wild people who really know how to live. Because it reminds me, I become greater around greatness. I become greater around greatness. You become greater around greatness. It's just one of those great magical things that this is where it really is about letting the magic happen. So your service becomes being yourself.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah.
It's wonderful permission.
Yeah.
To be ourselves.
Yeah. It really is. It's wonderful permission. And to think, you know, and this is where it's kind of backwards thinking again, to think that by being ourselves, that might actually be the service that the world needs to grow into its greatness. And when I think about what its greatness might be, what that really is alluding to is us taking care of each other, doing a lot better job than we're doing right now, you know? If who we are is founded in knowing that we're made of good stuff, then when we go out into the world and we give that as our gift of grace, then other people around us grow into their greatness. And together, we just live more consciously, I guess. I mean, what's a better word for that, Ava? I don't know. Consciously, we live. How do we live when we're being great?
I feel the word generously comes through.
Beautiful.
I get that word a little bit.
I like that.
I wanted to share a really quick example about that whole idea of us being of service simply by being us and by being alive.
Please.
Because, this happened to me, I think the first time I was actually aware of it, this happened maybe 4 months ago, where I was
I was on a writing retreat actually in this humongous house that I have been able to borrow as I've been writing my book. And I decided to come back to my regular home for just one day. Like, it was a one-day visit. And on that day, I decided to go to one of the cafes that's in the center of the little city that I live in. And I walked in, and as I was 20 feet away from the tables, I see two different people that I know. And they don't know each other. They're sitting at different tables, and they're about 10 feet apart, right? So they don't know each other. And so I walk in, and I don't want to go to one of them over the other because these, you know, they're both people that I know. So I just kind of stand there in the middle, and I'm talking to both of them at the same time and saying hi. And I eventually sit down for my tea, and I'm just doing some writing at this cafe. And I see one of these women. She gets up and goes and sits at the table with the other woman. And they chat together for pretty much the entire time that I'm there. And right before they're ready to leave, they get up and they say, they came over to me and they just said, I just wanted to thank you for introducing us. And it turns out that one of the women, just through that, you know, the little conversation the three of us had, one of the women realized that the other woman had a really important resource that she needed. Mm. And it was a connection to, you know, some other resource, some bigger resource. And they were brought together, and it was the first time that I realized that it was only that it was my presence in the cafe. I didn't even do anything. I just walked in and said hi to people. But it was me being there at that exact moment that connected these two women, and one of them to something that she greatly needed. And that was my first realization that us simply being us and being alive actually has a huge effect on other people's lives.
And in all directions.
Yeah.
Yes, that's great. And now, what were you carrying to that moment? Did you have any intention? Was there an excitement? What did you carry in that moment?
I probably had some smiles.
I walked in
and I was excited to see everyone, and also excited to be away from my writing retreat just for a day. So there was just excitement of me being in the city again. And so, yeah, I'm sure I brought some of that in to the cafe.
That's great. Yeah, and you were did you know you were made of good stuff, Ava?
I felt so funny. It's funny because it's almost hard to answer that question because there's part of me that feels like I shouldn't be saying yes because that might somehow be self-centered.
Right.
But on that day, I felt really good and really happy, and that I could just bring that happiness to other people.
I just want to say thank you for being vulnerable in that share, because in the terms of, boy, you know, I don't know, some part of me that feels like that might be self-centered if I say I'm not good stuff. I mean, that's what we're up against here. See, so part of, you know, I'm a student of the Course in Miracles, and part of what it says there is, you know, I'm going to just take it to the charisma code. The charisma code really talks about, it's like, it is a flip. It's a 180-degree flip from what we know, original sin to original goodness. I mean, this is like, it's a different perspective, this idea that we don't have to make charisma happen, that we don't have to shake hands in a certain way, that we don't have to hold eye contact and, you know, all those behavioral signs, that we don't have to actually go out of our way to be something that we're not in order to get what we want. Somehow, interestingly enough, that isn't logical. And so there's also this illogical place, societally speaking, with what our culture currently dictates to us in the Western world, which is that there is this concept that knowing that you're made of good stuff is like, oh, she's so full of it. But you know what the truth is? We want to be full of it.
That's so funny.
But I guess what I want to say, the reason I say thank you is because I do recognize when I said I'm not 100% sure that I can get every single person to learn charisma, it's because there are huge cultural like grandfathers, I guess I should say. Barriers, grandfathers, that, you know, old school stuff that's is part of what we've grown up with. I mean, it's embedded into our neurological pathways. It's not like, you know, it just goes away. Now, a big part of the Charisma Code, too, though, is talking about how to repattern your neural pathways and what we actually do to change some of that so that we can create a new meme, a new mm-hmm. a cultural carrier. It's like a cultural carrier gene that grows and evolves into a new society, and that's where revolution comes in.
Mm. Ooh, yeah. And with the book also, I really, because I know the book is not out yet, but it's
right.
going to be out, and I'm so looking forward to it. Will you share with everyone how they can stay in touch with the whole process of the book really being shown to the world and being brought to the world?
Thank you. Yeah. So essentially, I'd say everything right now, the portal is my newsletter on itster.com, and you'll see if you go again to itster.com, there is a newsletter sign up right on the front page and actually on every single page throughout the website. And through signing up, essentially you'll be receiving not only charisma activating tools, you'll also be receiving news as to the book process. I'm also, you know, so available to feedback and commentary. I mean, I recognize that, you know, that this work is not about me in the sense that my prayer and what it has been something much larger than me. So I'm very interested in the community stepping up and really asking for what they need, what they want, what they're not getting, and to be a part of the launch of this new career for me. I mean, in many ways, you know, again, mm-hmm. I've been intentionally locking myself away, and this is just the beginning of getting to share. And so, you know, that there's an excitement in that, and also an intention to really gather the forces and the people that let the charisma revolution come to be.
I love it. And even for everyone listening right now, I think it might have been perhaps five-ish months ago that I first talked to Robin about doing this interview. And it was at a time when she was deep, like writing the book, really, just like I was going on writing to a retreat, she was definitely in a writing retreat. So I'm so excited. I feel like we're at this point where, Robin, like, you are just opening up, like blossoming, like the whole message is starting to get out. So I'm really excited that we could do this and bring you to everyone.
Yes, thank you so much, Ava. I mean, really, you're a gem to call me out today and share me with your community and let my community, you know, get this information.
Hop on for the ride.
Well, it's just been thrilling. And, you know, today also is a big marker in the itster.com world in the sense of we just launched the second tier of the website. So now you can actually go and take a What's Your Charisma Type quiz from the website, and there's lots of other goodies on there. The products via Amazon, they were supposed to be ready this week, but they'll be ready next week.
They'll be ready.
My Amazon issues. But but we're getting over the Amazon issues, and there'll be some Liberty caps and treasure chests and pin and all kinds of really sort of charisma activating wares there. So, but right now you can go and take a free charisma test and figure out what color you are, and it can just be useful and fun, you know, to do that. And I believe, Ava, you took the quiz. I think you were one of the first people today.
I saw it just launched today. Yeah, I snuck on, and I was like, ooh, I better do this.
I love that you found it. I mean, you little wild woman, you.
I don't even know how, because I think somewhere you may have posted about it on Facebook, and then I tried looking it up again, to see if you had posted about it on your profile. I didn't even see it. I don't know how I found it. Anyway, but now all of you listening, you can go and do that quiz. So it was really fun.
That's super. Love it.
Yeah. Is there anything else, just you know, as we finish up, close up, were there any last words or anything else that you feel like is really important for people to hear and to know about charisma?
Yeah, there's one thing.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that Maya Angelou passed away yesterday. Maya Angelou, for those of you who I know most of us know, you know, a great poet, social activist of our time, one of the most formidable women that I, in terms of that have impacted my life. Maya Angelou, she wrote an amazing poem, many amazing poems. One of them was called Phenomenal Woman, and I think it really expresses the what a phenomenal woman is, and a phenomenal person. It expresses a woman who has the it, right? And it's about her. So this is an honor to Maya Angelou and her life, and somebody who I think really shows true charisma. I'm gonna read one stanza from the very end of her poem, just to give you a feel for it, and I think it's a great takeaway for all of us in terms of embodying the it. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say it's the fire in my eyes and the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist and the joy in my feet. I am a woman phenomenally. Right? And
oh,
so,
that's so on.
Right? The fire in my eyes. She's, you know, she goes on, if you look up the poem Phenomenal Woman, she goes on at the beginning about how, like, I'm not a model size, but I got everybody swarming around me like a honey hive, you know? And so it's just, you know, to Maya Angelou, I leave us all, I think, you know, the fact she is a true testimony of charisma.
Oh, so beautiful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing that and being here and writing the book and just bringing this to the world. It's such a service for people wanting to activate those magnetic qualities that they already have in themselves. So thank you so much.
Oh, goodness. You are so welcome, Ava. And, you know, on the very same, very authentic note, I just want to, again, thank you for seeing me and calling me out and being patient through my inner sanctuary time mm-hmm. and again sharing me with your community. It's a real joy and an honor and a privilege to be with you.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I look forward to seeing you in Los Angeles soon. I'm always down there, it seems. So, yeah, well, and also thank you for everyone listening today. Thank you so much. It is so great to have you here. I've been doing many interviews with colleagues throughout this whole year. So if you are interested in seeing what's next, you can always go to avawaits.com and check out the event section and see who's up and coming. Fantastic. Robin, have a great evening. Thank you so much again, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, dear Ava.
Bye.
Bye-bye.